Get liquid cooling.
Liquid cooling. Cool that liquid.
It'll be like the future, man.
I don't know how like futuristic liquid cooling is. Like, I'm pretty sure they've been using it in technology forever. Like steam engines and things. I'm pretty sure you.
I was going to say like blacksmithing.
Yeah, blacksmithing. It's not just limited to computers.
I have a friend who's an apprentice welder who his like end goal after he gets like his ticket and becomes like a full-on certified welder, his end goal is to just open a blacksmithing shop and just like make rings and shit with like Nordic runes and stuff on them.
That's cool.
It's sweet. I don't think he'll ever make a dime doing it, but no. It's sweet. He's a strange one.
Yeah. Well, mm-hmm. On that note, welcome to the Geeks and Beat Comics Roundup for the week of Wednesday, May the 14th.
Be with you.
Coming at you live to tape, I am Joey G.
And I'm Ryan.
And I'm Rob.
No, Rob is AFK. AWOL.
He shrunk.
I'm Rob.
Yes, it's Lil Gary.
Hose balloon.
Yeah, so no Rob this week, just Joey and Ryan. You know what that means.
Wrestling.
All wrestling, all the time. So I didn't really watch Raw this week.
The last three episodes of Raw, I've probably watched a combined 45 minutes of.
Like, I know that Brian is out
probably
for 6 to 8 weeks.
So what's the point of watching? You know what I did watch? The debut, or not the debut, but the second week of Adam Rose.
I like Adam Rose.
Oh, it's the dumbest fucking gimmick I've
ever. I love it, though.
It is, I raged about it to a friend of ours. It is the dumbest gimmick. And the thing that gets me, he's a talented guy. Like, he's a decent worker. He can talk. But it's the dumbest gimmick. Although I like the guy in the bunny suit, but...
It is a stupid gimmick. But hopefully, like, Fandango has a bad gimmick, too, and he's making it work. So.
Yeah. Wow. He was for a while.
Yeah, they should really give he had an actual concussion. Push. But
I was going to say, talent shines through. Just ask Dolph Ziggler. Yo. Is he still employed?
JTG's employed.
JTG reached 7 years just like a couple days ago. It's amazing. Somebody screenshotted the is JTG still employed countdown or like counter at 7 years exactly.
That's amazing.
So if like, I don't know, I think that I might have more to offer WWE than he does. So maybe I should petition for like a job.
Right. Well, I get my ass kicked. leaving comics aside, I'm so glad that I'm the host.
Mm-hmm.
Putting wrestling aside just for a moment, I'm sure we'll get back to it because I believe in us.
Although in a weird way, I'm like so burnt out on wrestling after Mania every year.
That's because this year we were so hyped for Mania.
Oh, because it delivered
exactly how we wanted.
Yeah,
and like honestly, that could have been the moment we stopped watching wrestling forever. We would have been satisfied.
And mostly, and I've thought about this. It's because the best part of like supporting a wrestler that you really like is the chase, and then the moment they win, and then they're the reigning champion, and it's like, well,
yeah, it's never as exciting as the moment they win.
Yeah,
but anyway, putting aside wrestling for a moment, I thought for this week we'd do something we've never done. I've heard other comic podcasts do this, and I'm feeling very tired and uninspired tonight. So
fair enough. I'm feeling really angry.
Are you?
At drivers?
At drivers?
They're mean. Well, they're not. No, I'm mean. They're assholes. They're bad at what they do. I drive all day. That's my job is to drive. And I'm fine with that, like, because it's like, oh, whatever, I'm getting paid, like, stupid amount of money to do this. But then I go home, and then when I'm driving on my own time, nothing makes me more angry than, like, somebody not signaling.
That makes me angry because it is a safety concern.
Yes. I almost, like, hit two people because of it today.
Really?
Yep.
I'm glad you didn't.
I wish I would have. They were pedestrians, and they didn't signal, so...
Those fuckers. So, anyway, today, some of the August solicitations have started to show up online, so I thought, what better way to celebrate that than to go look at July's solicitations? So I thought, in between
we should discussing look at September's.
Some of our comics, we would look at some of the things that are in this month's previews catalog, some of the things that catch our eye.
Maybe... Catch my spit.
Catch Ryan's spit, apparently.
My drool.
Your drool.
My drool.
Got to be drool to be kind.
I'm a reb drool without a cause. A reb drool without a cup to catch my drool.
Let's get right into Dark Horse. Dark Horse Comics.
Hey.
Do you have much Dark Horse?
No, but I always bet on one.
Hey-o. Have you ever read The Goon, sir? Eric Powell's The Goon?
I haven't. I've always really wanted to.
The Goon is excellent. I am by no means caught up with everything that Eric Powell has done with The Goon. I think there's like 8 or 9 trades at this point. I don't think there's been about probably three or four years since the last major Goon story. Oh, apparently it's the biggest Goon story, since 2008. That was awkward. I think it's been like some here and there since then, but
6 years. I did math.
The Goon is returning with The Goon Occasion of Revenge number one. And it looks like it's a miniseries. So I'm wondering if Eric Powell's going to go the Mike Mignola route of ongoing series of miniseries rather than trying to maintain the original numbering, which seems to be the way everything is going. Like, I think we're not far off from Marvel doing exactly the same thing. I mean, they're basically trying to do it now.
Like,
I would not be surprised to see that. Because originally I thought they were just going to relaunch a volume every time a new creative team took over. But they haven't done that. And in some cases, they've launched new number ones with the same creative team.
Or relaunched and then just relaunched the old. I'm thinking of Spider-Man. Because it went Amazing Superior and then Amazing. Although it kind of makes sense.
But new number one is sort of my point. So I think that we're not probably too far away from seeing more and more of that. But I'm wondering anyway, as it relates to The Goon, if that's the plan. But if you haven't read The Goon, you should totally check it out. I'd like to get the rest of the stuff I don't have. But it's just a really fun, funny, awesome...
What was the miniseries that was like from the pages of The Goon, like recent, within the last like year or two?
Are you thinking of Billy the Kid's Old Timey Oddities?
No. Yeah, I have no idea. The Creep?
No. I mean, The Creep was not from the pages of The Goon. No.
Oh, I thought that's what it was.
But I think that they used to like point to The Goon and The Creep as similar, even though they're not even remotely. But The Creep is very good. The Creep is John Arcudi. But anyway, speaking of Eric Powell, who does The Goon, they're putting out an omnibus of the Billy the Kid's old-timey oddities. There was a mini-series of these guys last year that I picked up, and I think this collects all of the Billy the Kid stuff, so I may have to get this collection, because I know I've only read that one story. I remember thinking I would enjoy it better if I knew who all the characters were.
How many euros will it cost?
24, well, I don't know how many euros it'll cost. American dollars, 25.
Oh, that's not bad.
And it's 320 pages. So
that's a really, really good deal.
I'm guessing it's one of those, like, it's a 6x9, so it's one of those smaller Dark Horse omnibus trades. Yeah. I kind of like those, actually.
Yeah, they're easier to hold.
Yeah, they're sort of the digest size, so, I mean, they're kind of in between the two, I guess. But, they're pretty cool.
They're very easily digestible.
You know, I guess they're actually not that much smaller than a regular trade dress. Like, I assume that they're so much bigger, but a regular trade is only 7x10.
So an inch either way.
Yeah, so I guess it's not that much smaller, but it seems so much smaller when you hold it. Like, ding dong. I mean, never mind.
Halfway through, I was like, oh my god,
penis.
Why
is he doing this now?
I mean, it feels like six. But
no, it doesn't. Maybe if I duct tape a fucking prostate. Every month when I go through previews and I get to the Mike Mignola section, I always feel like such a stupid jerk because I'm not buying any of this. And like eventually, every once in a while, I get trades or minis, but there's so much, and it's all spectacular between Baltimore, Sapien, Witchfinder, BPRD, Hellboy.
Speaking as somebody who has never read a Mike Mignola book, I agree.
Because they're so good.
I really should get on it, but...
Yeah, I just... eventually, I'll read them all. You know. The Buffy and Angel comics that they've now started season 10. Are you getting any of those? Did you read any of these?
No.
It wasn't you who was reading them?
No, it was Rob, because I still haven't even finished Buffy the TV series.
You can stop at halfway through season 4, and that's far enough.
I think I got to the start of season 3, and then...
3 is actually my favorite.
Just 2 and 3 kind of stop watching. Yeah. I do that a lot. Like Dexter. I started watching the 4th season of Dexter.
Dexter?
Yes.
Text while driving.
I watched the first episode of the 4th season, which everybody says unanimously is like the best season, the John Lithgow season, and I watched the first episode and then I was done.
I've seen the first season and that season. That's it.
Yeah, you didn't really need to see 2 or 3.
Like it's
good.
The next thing that actually caught my eye, there's a few other things here, like there's a Gail Simone graphic novel that she did through Kickstarter is coming out, but I gotta be honest, whenever I see creator-owned book, I get excited, and then I see that it's superheroes. If you're going to do a creator-owned book, why of all things would you do fucking superheroes again? Like, the one thing that we have too many of. I don't know. I can't remember the last time I gave a fuck about a creator-owned superhero book.
Really. I'm sure
there are exceptions.
But. And like, I almost feel like creator-owned superhero books are kind of cornered by Millar anyways, so.
Yeah.
like he kind of does.
The only Millar ones that I ever pick up are the ones that, even if there are superpowers in it, it's like the Secret Service I liked a lot, and Super Crooks I liked a lot.
Super Crooks was awesome.
Even though both of them, especially Super Crooks, just read like a illustrated storyboard for a movie, but whatever.
And funny enough, both of them are.
Yeah, Secret Agents, I think, is already filmed. Like.
Yeah, Secret Service, they had footage at one of the Comic Cons recently.
Is that right?
And apparently it looked good. So.
I think Matthew Vaughn is directing it.
Yeah.
Is that his name?
Yeah, the Kick-Ass guy, yeah.
I didn't like Kick-Ass, but I like all of his other movies. Stardust, Layer Cake, that other one that I like the best of the why can't I think of it?
Kick-Ass.
X-Men First Class.
Oh, yeah. Jeez. Oh, I read a review of...
Days
of Future Past, and it was on an IGN review, but they said, it's cool, there's too much stuff, and then gave it like a 6.9.
That's what I've been hearing about a lot of these superhero movies. Like, I've heard that complaint from certain people about the new Spider-Man movie, which I haven't seen yet, but another person told me a review that tells me I'm probably going to love it. They basically just said, of all the Spider-Man movies, this is the most Spidey. Like, he does the most cool Spidey stuff.
Yeah.
And I don't really fucking care if it's a coherent plot or if it's, like, a deep thing. Like, it's fucking Spider-Man. I don't need it to be Macbeth. I just want to see Spider-Man do cool Spider-Man shit.
Yeah.
And that's... And, Spider-Man 3 wasn't bad because it was a bad movie. It was. But it was mostly bad because he didn't do any cool Spidey stuff.
That's the thing. Spider-Man's got to be... Like, he's got to make quips. They're jokes
and
puns.
Run around and do
flips
and shit. And that's all I really care about.
Make, do like his iconic poses and fight. Apparently the Electro fight's amazing.
Yeah, I'm sure it is. Like, I'm sure it'll be fun. That's...
And it helps that Electro looks so much better than the Lizard. So
this Lizard does look terrible. Oh. Hey, I watched the first 30 minutes of Iron Man 3.
Did you like it?
The first 30 minutes are great.
Wait till there's...
I will eventually see the rest of it.
I can't wait till you watch the, like, best scene. Well, there's two really excellent scenes. One is a really quiet scene, and the other one is Tony Stark 007.
Oh, cool.
It's awesome.
Yeah, but the 30 minutes that I watched were pretty cool. I got right to the part after the guy blew up, and Tony's talking to Happy Hogan in the hospital.
In the hospital, yeah.
Yeah, I'm like, oh, this is pretty good. It's... And then Brody fell asleep, so I was like, I'm going to go read comics instead of watching them.
That's fair. Yeah. I probably would have kept watching them because it takes less work.
I've been watching... Netflix recently added like every superhero cartoon that I love.
Really?
So I've been like...
They also added Spider-Man 3.
Yeah.
Because it keeps
popping
up. But
they added Ultimate Spider-Man, the TV series, which is great.
I've heard it's good.
Batman Brave and the Bold, which is one of my favorite series of all time. The whole series. They added Justice League and Justice League Unlimited, Batman Beyond, Avengers Earth's Mightiest Heroes.
That's been on for a while.
Okay, I haven't watched it yet. And then there's the new Avengers one, too, but it's not... Avengers Assemble, but it's not actually on there at all.
Yeah.
But they've also got, like, two seasons of Adventure Time and Codename Kids Next Door. Basically,
I think they have regular show and stuff
regular
like that,
show.
Too.
They added, like, a ton of Cartoon Network stuff. Johnny Test is on there now. Yeah. So basically, Ben 10, like, tons of stuff. So basically, I don't ever have to watch anything other than cartoons again.
I didn't know you watched anything other than cartoons.
Scooby-Doo Mystery Incorporated, another really... A show that I think more people need to give a try to, because it is... Not only is it really, really good, but it's really funny, and it's one of the best continuing stories, like, on TV.
Really?
Yeah.
It's like a procedural.
Monster of the Week every week, but it all adds to this long, ongoing plot of this mystery of Crystal Cove. Shut the fuck up, dog! Yeah, so it's a really, really... I don't close that window.
We're going to get interrupted by Joey's neighbor coming over with a knife.
Yeah, I actually like my neighbors, too. I didn't think that they would hear that. But yeah, Scooby-Doo...
Blame it on me. Sorry.
Even Nicole loves Scooby-Doo Mystery Incorporated. Well, they know it's me. They hear me swearing at my dog all the time.
I love Scooby-Doo.
Then you
like, loved
Scooby-Doo. And like, I love Scooby-Doo as well. You know how much I love Scooby-Doo. I have the original series on DVD
in
a box shaped like
so
a mystery
machine. Oh my goodness.
But in this one, not only is the mysteries great, but all of them are actual characters now with character development.
Really?
And like, Freddy is the funniest character on the show.
So Daffy's not just blind?
No, you mean Velma?
Velma.
Fuck. No, Velma's actually really funny, and she's like Shaggy's girlfriend, but she's always pissed off because Shaggy spends all his time with Scooby. Like, he's the third wheel. But the funniest part of the show is that Fred is like obsessed with traps and like reading trap magazine and making traps, and it infuriates Daphne because she is in love with Fred, but Fred is completely oblivious to her because he's so obsessed with traps.
I need to watch this show.
You will now.
You
love it.
Yeah, this sounds awesome.
Yeah, you will love Mystery Incorporated.
Okay, it's on Netflix.
Yeah.
Okay,
the first two seasons are on Netflix.
Canadian Netflix.
I don't know. Netflix.
Okay.
Anyway, did you see this? Have you Gru versus Conan miniseries? Mark Evanier, Sergio Aragonés, Tom Yates, and Tom Luth. Have you ever read Gru?
No.
Gru the Wanderer is one of the funniest comic book characters ever. Sergio Aragonés is a fantastic like cartoonist. You'd love his art style. It's just like total cartoony. He's done stuff for Mad Magazine forever, but he's really funny. And Gru is like a parody of Conan.
Yeah.
So in this story, they're actually having Gru and Conan meet up and have a like a story together.
Yeah.
And what's cool is Sergio Aragonés is drawing all the Gru stuff. And Thomas Yates is drawing all the Conan stuff. So you have these two like totally different art styles meeting in the same comic. It looks so
great.
That
looks really neat. Actually.
Yeah. And honestly, Gru is unique because I have a few Gru trades. And I once left a Gru trade out in my living room when I lived with my parents.
Mm-hmm.
It is the one comic my dad ever picked up, read cover to cover, and then went on for about 2 weeks on how brilliant it was.
Really?
Yeah. He loved it. He's like, it was funny, and it had like a story. And I was like, yeah, Dad.
I know your dad, and this is
does
like
it
a
not,
revelation.
Does it not sound like him, does it?
Revelation.
Yeah. No, he loved it. He never read another one. Never picked up another one, but he sure liked Gru. So yeah, that to me is just hilarious. Art Balthazar and Franco are putting out the collection of Ah Yeah comics from their Kickstarter a while back. Have you ever read any of their stuff?
Nope.
They did like Itty Bitty Hellboy, Tiny
Things. I know they do all like the little cute stuff.
Yeah, it's really funny stuff. They're really good kids comics. I really like kids comics.
I know. I know because Adventure Time was your favorite every week.
I still maintain that if I could only buy one comic every month, it would probably be Adventure Time.
Really?
Yeah.
Mine would probably be... I don't know. It's hard to pick because like my favorite comics don't come out every month anymore. So, I mean, Hawkeye. Hawkeye comes out... It feels like it comes out every like two months now.
Yeah. I bet you there's not much left in that series.
I think there might be like six issues max. But
well, they're putting out a one-shot Usagi Yojimbo color special collecting the four short stories that were in Dark Horse Presents.
Mm-hmm.
So that'd be
that's
cool.
The rabbit, right?
Yeah. Apparently it's a good entry point for new readers. I have read not enough Usagi Yojimbo because I know I would absolutely love this series. But
Have you ever read on that same page Axe Cop?
I used to read the webcomic.
Really?
Yeah.
Is it good?
When it first came out. Yeah, I mean, like, it's very repetitive because
it's like
the gag wears thin after all. Like, it's a six-year-old, right? It was written to, like, a four-year-old telling his brother what to draw. So it was really funny.
Yeah.
But eventually I kind of got the joke. I don't know what this new stuff has been like at all, but I'm sure it's fine.
I've wanted to watch the cartoon.
Show.
Yeah,
I watched the first episode.
Yeah,
it was very much like the comic.
Yeah,
I
just like
the
Nick
fact
Offerman.
That everyone I like is in it. Like Nick Offerman and Rob Hubel are the main characters.
Really, I like Rob Hubel too. I might have to at least check out the first episode.
You'd probably like it.
The episode.
The other thing I'm noticing in here is Red Moon. I don't know if this is new material or old material being collected, but it's like an all-ages kids fantasy story written by Carlos Trio and drawn by Eduardo Risso.
Yeah.
Like, in just looking at this, you can tell it's him, but it's so different from what you're used to seeing from him, that really moody, noir, 100 Bullets stuff. So that could be kind of cool, I think. Fairies, Knights, and Flying Caped Crusaders. Red Moon.
It is not what I would think Eduardo Risso would do.
I completely agree.
Mm-hmm.
Dark Horse has also started putting in a lot of non-comicsy stuff. Like they have a prose anthology in this issue previews.
Yeah, yeah.
And here they've got two art books. One that I've never watched Legend of Korra. Mm-hmm. I've never watched The Last Avatar for that matter.
Mm-hmm.
Everyone tells me it's great. Or Avatar The Last Airbender.
Yeah.
It's called.
I have no ambition to watch that.
Everyone tells me I would love it. I probably would, but who knows. But so I don't care about the art of the second season, but... this one, The Art of the Book of Life. I guess there's this new animated movie coming out called The Book of Life, which looks amazing. And it's produced by Guillermo del Toro. And this is the art book of that movie. And the art just from like this splash page of the cover is so good. I don't usually buy movie art books just because I'm not that interested in them usually. But this one, I think I may have to actually seek out.
I don't think I'd ever really buy just an art book. I feel like I need to have a story.
I have lots of art books, just not usually the art of film books. Yeah.
Even if it was like, I know you're a way bigger Kirby fan than I am, but even like I don't know if I'd buy just like a Kirby art book. Just see, like, I just, I don't know.
I've got a whole shelf upstairs of our books, and I know a lot of way smarter people than me have, like, giant collections.
Oh, I can imagine. I think it's just because I'm like, but there's no story. Like, I'm, I don't know. That's just me. I just like things.
See if there's anything else in Dark Horse that caught my eye at all. Finder, the Third World. Have you ever read any Finder? Carlos Speed McNeil. Really cool, like, I don't even know how to describe it. I guess it's science fiction, but it's hard to describe. And Third World has been the story that's being serialized in Dark Horse Presents. So it's that whole, all 184 pages of that, plus an extra 17 new story pages and extensive annotations. And I love when people do annotations in their books.
Yeah. I'm still waiting for them to put out a new House of Fun anthology that has not House of Fun. What's the cops? The two cops.
Oh yeah.
Where buddy the one cops. Was like, yeah, buddy cops.
So good.
I'm still waiting for more of that.
I wonder if they've done any more in Dark Horse Presents, because I haven't been getting it lately.
No.
Like, just drink a Coke so I keep belching.
That'll happen.
I kind of missed that book. I stopped getting it because it was $8 a month, but it was so good.
I just remember Buddy Cops was like maybe one of my favorite comics of all time.
Yeah.
Like, it's so funny.
Hey, so did you see, just of interest, local interest, Conan the Avenger. So the Conan the Barbarian has wrapped up. The Brian Wood run. Fred Van Lente is now writing the ongoing, which is called Conan the Avenger.
Mm-hmm.
So that's, I usually buy these in hardcover because I have all of the Dark Horse series in hardcover, so I just continued that. So I will read these eventually, but issue number 4, which comes out that month, has a cover by Fiona Staples.
That is a really cool cover,
Cool cover, too, of Conan fighting the lion.
Mm-hmm. I think she should do covers on all books.
Mm-hmm. I'd like to see her actually do like a Conan book.
She did.
And she wouldn't be doing Saga.
So. Yeah. She did a really cool cover for Ultimate Spider-Man.
She did. I saw that, actually,
And it was really expensive.
I love that Dark Horse has so many great Robert E. Howard and Conan things. Like, that month they're putting out volume 17 of Savage Sword of Conan. Those are like the phone book essential trades. They collect the Marvel magazine Savage Sword of Conan.
Ooh.
I have volume like 1, 2, 3, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, I think, or something like that. But so there's quite a few that I'm missing, apparently. But, and then also they have this, I don't know if it's quarterly or when the fuck it comes out, but Robert E. Howard's Savage Sword, these big 80-page giants that always have, you know, 6 stories or so.
Yeah.
Usually like 3 or 4 new ones, and then one classic reprint. And the reprint in this one is a Roy Thomas, Sal Buscema adaptation of Black Colossus, which is one of my favorite Conan stories. So these are always worth getting. They're like little mini trades, too. Like,
how much are they?
$8.
$8? That's not bad.
Those big perfect bound books are usually $1.80, but so that's pretty good.
Neat.
I have one or two other things here starred that we don't have to mention. New Lone Wolf and Cub Volume 2. So this is like the sequel to Lone Wolf and Cub that Kazuo Koike and Hideki Mari did. So I haven't read all of Lone Wolf and Cub.
That's been released before, right?
I believe so.
I thought so.
But I don't know. Probably. Yeah. I know because Dark Horse is redoing all the Lone Wolf and Cub stuff right now.
Yeah.
Which is great because those fatter collections are the best.
Yeah.
And that brings us to the end of Dark Horse. So why don't we talk about some stuff that we actually read this week?
Okay.
Let's hit those 2 Marvel books that you're holding.
Oh.
Because we've both read those.
Two.
Yeah, the ones that you
know. Yeah.
And then you can talk about that if you want.
Yeah,
so let's start with Captain America, number 20.
Yay.
By Ed Brubaker and Nick Klein.
Rick Remender.
What did I say?
Ed Brubaker.
Oh, I wish. The Iron Nail, part 4. The Iron Nail is a cool-looking villain, but nowhere near as cool as Dr. Mindbubble.
Dr. Mindbubble is amazing.
Yeah.
The Iron Nail, while cool-looking, feels like the least threatening villain. I feel if there's one fault of Remender's run so far, because I think this has been excellent superhero comic book writing, but the Iron Nail is kind of a... Like, it's kind of a letdown of a villain.
Luckily, it is not Zola. So cool.
Yeah.
I would say that while I like this run a lot, it hasn't quite been ever as good as it was in the Dimension Z stuff.
Yeah. Well, and I think, to be honest, John Romita Jr. kind of helped that.
Yeah, for, but that for story me especially. Was also just so unique and cool. Yeah. I still like this a lot, and I love this Dr. Mindbubble character.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm also looking forward to this storyline wrapping up and moving on to something else.
Yeah.
And I want more Jet Black. I was excited to have her be a more main character.
At the same time, though, the last two pages, like this big double page of what's to come in the next issue, was amazing.
The giant shield mecha robot that they built.
With this giant, like, sword. Electric sword. Yeah. Oh, it's so cool.
I like anything with giant robots.
Oh, yeah.
Robots.
That's what I remember reading this, being like, I hope Joey's reading this, because he would love this.
Yeah, I don't mean to make it sound like I don't really like this. I do like it quite a bit. Mm. And in particular, now that we have this giant robot...
I will say, though, that the best badass superhero line in this whole book was Jet Black when she
crashed the car through the window.
Yeah.
Totally. I forget what she said. What did she say?
She says, "There's no god coming to aid him, pig, but Azola is the next closest thing."
Yeah. Ugh. That was pretty sweet. So the next issue,
is she insane? That's subjective. Iron Nail
storyline, I think. Maybe not.
I think there might be one or two more.
I'm like in no way planning on getting rid of this book. I'm going to keep getting it, so I'm still enjoying it.
It's definitely like, and I always forget, it's in the same vein for me as Thor God of Thunder, where I always forget how excellent of a book it is, and then I read the new issue and I'm like, I really, really like this.
Yeah.
Thor especially, because it's old King Thor fighting Galactus at the moment right now.
Well, that's cool.
And it's drawn by Asad Ribic, and it looks amazing.
So our other Marvel title here is a book that I originally picked up just on a whim because I liked the Trad Moore cover and I like MODOK.
Mm-hmm.
Secret Avengers number 3 by Alex Cott and Michael Walsh.
That's what the issue. That's what my problem with this issue was. No MODOK.
He wasn't in it as much. He was there. There was that awesome panel of him with like the apron on.
Yeah. I think that's the only panel he's in, though.
He was definitely not in this one much.
Yeah, he's mentioned otherwise.
I liked a lot of it.
It was definitely
three issues that we've had so far. You're right. It was not my favorite.
It felt a little too disjointed for me.
I think next issue has MODOK in it.
Oh, thank God.
But yeah, I would agree. But this is like such an absurdly fun book. I went back and read all 16 issues of the previous Secret Avengers volume.
The
one that started as Nick Spencer. And then there was two issues by Ed Brisson, which were really good.
I think I read the first 8 issues, I want to say, of that.
Yeah, it was volume. A slog.
It was okay, but
it kind of fluctuated for me between not very good and just barely readable.
Yeah.
Like, just barely enough to keep reading the next one.
Yeah.
The 2-issue Infinity tie-in that Ed Brisson wrote with Luke Ross, which I really like, which had that Inhuman girl, the shield tech who becomes an Inhuman. I really like that story. And then Alex Cott comes in and it started to get better. And the whole last story, How to Name a Mockingbird, which basically just set up this book, was way better. But this is so much better. The tone is totally different. Mm-hmm. It's like, because the last one, I'm just tired of like Maria Hill being a bitch and S.H.I.E.L.D. fucking with people. And it's like, I'm so tired and so boring. It's just so... It's such a tired idea.
I like my Maria Hill being the straight-laced one, not the shitty one. Yeah.
And like, same thing with like Daisy, who I think is a great character. They had no fucking clue what to do with her. Like, the point where I forgot that she was in the book at one point. I'm like, she's the actual director. Boy, this is not spectacular.
Yeah.
But this book just dispenses with all that grim bullshit and just has fun. And fun is had. And they actually made Agent Coulson a really fun character in this book. A lot of the other books I've seen him in, he's just been kind of there.
There was one other book that I really did like him in, but I can't remember what it is. I much prefer him in the television show, Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
I like him a lot in this, really good. And the fact that he and Nick Fury are friends.
Yeah.
The other thing I liked from the previous run, actually, was towards the end of the previous run when Rhodey was becoming like the Iron Patriot with all those Patriot drones.
Yeah.
It almost makes me curious to pick up the Iron Patriot series.
That's also Alex Cott, right?
Alex Cott, right. So I know it's spun out of that book. So
and Gary Brown?
Perhaps.
I think something like that.
Yeah, I can't remember.
I feel like it had a Michael Walsh cover, but I don't know.
I think it did. Which is, and he's drawn this book.
Yeah.
And these Trad Moore covers are really good.
Yeah, and
Trad Moore, I wanted to do an ongoing MODOK series.
Weird thing is that like I don't even really care for Trad Moore that much.
No,
it's kind of weirdly not my thing, which is weird because it's very like cartoony and animated.
I'm surprised it's not more your
thing.
Have you read Ghost Rider?
I flipped through the first issue.
I read the first two, and it's beautiful. It looks so good. It's fucking boring and unoriginal. Like the writing in it, I don't remember who's writing it all of a sudden either. Somebody who's probably better than this book would have me think.
Yeah, but I think it's also somebody who like really isn't. Well-known big two writer in
Is that right?
Yeah, like it's... I don't know if they... I'm sure they've written something before, but... Oh, now it's going to bother me. That
yeah, it's driving me crazy right now. I'm just trying to see where I can find it.
But no, the, like I said, this issue did feel a little disjointed for me, but... I mean, it wasn't bad by any means. It was still very good. It was still better than most Marvel books, which is weird saying because I like most Marvel books as well.
Marvel is doing a lot of cool stuff at the moment.
Yeah. For instance, as an example, Secret Avengers.
Felipe Smith is writing Ghost Rider.
Secret Avengers was better than this book. Deadpool issue 28. Although I still really like Deadpool as well.
Yeah, I've never cared about Deadpool. I know we've talked about this a million times, and I've read maybe the first five or six out of that series, and they're fine, but I don't really care.
That's fair. I do. This is Scott Koblish.
Oh, is it?
Yeah.
Every time there's a Scott Koblish issue, I at least flip through it because it looks so good.
It's not like a quote unquote canned issue. It's like the story of Deadpool's honeymoon.
I still just love his art
in Japan. Oh, it's
Scott Koblish is amazing.
It's fantastic. It's such a good looking book, and there's like basically these like Pokemon avatars that these kids have that they use to like thieve, like pickpocket people and stuff, and rob people.
Mm-hmm.
And also at the same time, there's the Hand, and then also the Yakuza, who kind of try to ruin Deadpool's honeymoon. And there's it's just like a wild romp through the streets of Tokyo chasing after this briefcase full
of
money.
Every time I see this book, I wish it was about a different character, because I just don't give a fuck about Deadpool. And it looks fun, and I love that. Yeah. Like, I saw Sunfire in there, and there's monsters, and it looks like a book that I probably would, if I even sat down, I'm sure I'd love it. I just, I'm not going to buy it. I just can't care about Deadpool. I've never been able to.
That's fair. I like Deadpool. Deadpool's not my favorite. I used to really like him.
I don't get why he's so fucking, like, people love Deadpool.
Because he's the rated R Spider-Man.
Is that what it is?
Because he's quippy, but, like, not necessarily rated R, but he's just, like, he's Spider-Man, but a little more adult-humored. This book will have instances where it's very adult humor as well. Like, Brian Posehn and Jerry Duggan. I keep touching your foot, I'm sorry.
I thought you were trying to flirt with me.
Well,
I'm kind of disappointed to realize
I don't beat around the bush. I just
beat around my dick hole.
Yep. but no, they get away with a lot for a Marvel book. And and like, they're both like really talented comedic writers.
The ones that I read were funny. Like, I read the whole first The President's
Story. The Dead President stuff, yeah.
And I think I read We Fought a Zoo. Which was the second arc, I think. Yep. Or at least I read part of it.
We Fought a Zoo is the one with Roosevelt.
That was a President's story. Yeah, okay. So I did read that. I read the whole President's story.
The President's storyline was six issues.
Yeah, I read that, and I think I read one after that. I read up until, like, the S.H.I.E.L.D. agent who was, like, his contact dies and, like, ends up in his brain somehow.
Oh, yeah. They finally got rid of that.
They got rid of that?
Yeah.
Okay.
There was the Declan Shelby arc, The Good, the Bad, and the Ugly.
I definitely
It's really good. It's really good. It's a very when compared to the Toni Moore stuff, it's so fucking serious and so earnest, and like dark as shit.
Hmm.
And
that
now,
feels like it would annoy me.
Yeah. Well,
I like how funny and light the first arc was. I enjoyed it, but I didn't enjoy it apparently enough to continue.
It had its moments of like it had its levity. Jokes, but. Right. I mean, the problem with them is they throw so many jokes at you throughout that first arc in an issue. And, like, most of them hit, some of them don't, though.
Mm-hmm.
It's probably, like, a 50-50 success-fail rate. And in the Declan Shelby arc, there's only, like, six jokes, and three of them suck. So, and it's kind of weird, but...
Okay.
I don't know. At the same time, there is a Scott Koblish issues, which, like, are some of my favorite issues of comics.
Ones, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, like, those look so fun.
Oh, they're just so... The Wakanda one with that's just super Kirby.
Yeah.
And the Demon in a Bottle one with that. Like, yeah.
That's funny.
Like, it's a lot of fun. They do a lot of fun things with that book, which is why they'll keep getting my money for it. But.
Well... Mm-hmm. Moving on from things that will get our money to things that probably won't, let's talk a little bit about DC solicitations. I don't think I have a single DC book this week, do you?
I have one DC book.
Yeah, but I don't think any DC that I care about came out this week. But So there's a few new series launching that we can at least mention and decide if we're going to read them. Grayson, number one.
Nope.
AKA DC's The Winter, presents The Winter Soldier, yep. number one. It's too bad because Tim Seeley and Mikhail Janin, I like both of them. Mm-hmm. And the cover by Andrew Robinson, while it's a shitty cover, it's a good picture.
Yeah.
Like, it's just a really boring cover. It's just, he's standing there with a gun and there's circles behind him.
At least it doesn't just say, like, 0 year.
Right. And but anyway, I'm probably not going to... Oh, I'm definitely not going to get that.
Yeah.
And then, so this makes me laugh. So DC is, like, next week going to finally finish Forever Evil, right?
Yep.
They've already started Future's
See,
End.
Still in shock every... I'm in shock every time I hear that Future's... Or Forever Evil's not done.
I know.
That started, like, last summer, did it not? Yeah.
So that's finally finishing. Now, before that's even finished, they've started their other two big events, yep. which are Future's End and Batman Eternal.
Yeah.
And now there's another event, which is, I guess, just a bad event, but Robin Rises. So I guess they're already bringing Damian back. So there's a new series, Jeez. Robin Rises Omega Number One.
Yeah.
Any interest?
Nope.
Neither.
But I did just think about something that will interest you. Greg Capullo on Twitter tweeted, I think there was two pictures of it. One picture that he drew years ago of Stone Cold
and the
sharpshooter. Yeah, and then the Hogan Andre.
Those were cool, right?
Amazing. Yeah. I want those on my wall.
Those were very cool.
And I'm like not the hugest Capullo fan. I'd like them.
Me neither, but I like those, yeah.
But I would get those.
So the other new DC books, there's new Suicide Squad number one.
Ugh.
DC's just like, Marvel does it. So it's basically just Suicide Squad, but it's new Suicide Squad.
Yeah.
I didn't like old Suicide Squad, and I certainly don't give a fuck about new Suicide Squad. And the controversial Teen Titans number one featuring the Kenneth Rockerford cover that has caused so many fucking idiot fuckheads on the internet to lose their mind and, like, try to hack into people who don't like the covers banking and
that's,
to rape people.
That was...
It's just fucked.
That was to the point where it's like... Like, I get that, like, mudslinging happens on the internet, and people say stupid shit, and, like, it, unfortunately, it happens, but going into somebody's bank account, that's, like,
no, I agree.
Fucked up.
Mudslinging and seeing shit on the internet does happen, and that's too bad, but there's a difference between mudslinging and being on the internet and threatening to rape and murder somebody.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Like, that's not just, it happens, that's just, like, fuck you guys, this is pathetic.
Yeah.
And, like, regardless of whether or not you think she's right, she is, by the way, this cover is horrible. But even if you don't, there's no reason for that. Anyway, we don't need to talk about this. It's been talked about a million times. Yeah. But if you're one of those people who does stupid things on the internet, you're not welcome on our podcast.
You almost think, though, if DC had some, like, awareness, they might have just, like, commissioned a new cover.
They never should have run this cover.
Well,
that too. Yeah, it's not a very good cover.
No.
And I don't even mind Rockefeller's art. I just don't like this cover. It's just really shitty.
I find the perspective is so fucked up on it.
It's not very well drawn. And just like the fact that the focal point is a teenager's tits is just so unfortunately common, and especially in New 52.
Yeah.
It's a very New 52-y cover.
Oh, yeah.
Another new DC book that I'm actually going to get. Star Spangled War Stories featuring the G.I. Zombie. Number one. Basically, every time DC throws out a weird book that'll last 6 or 8 issues, I end up buying it, and almost always it's written by Palmiotti and Gray. But yeah, another awesome DC war book that won't tie into anything. I've gotten every one of these so far. War of the Time for God.
Just wait until issue 8 when there's a Batman crossover.
Yeah, no shit.
What did Bruce Wayne do in World War II?
Yeah, but I just think it sounds hilarious. I love that kind of thing. It's like every once in a while DC puts out a book that doesn't seem New 52-y, and I'm excited. I think that's probably...
Like,
are you reading any of these weeklies? No, you're not.
Fuck
reading.
No.
I hated Future's End number 0 and number 1.
I could never... Like, Spider-Man is the only book that will... Okay, Spider-Man is like the one book that I'm okay with buying it all the time, and it's also the book that I most want to read. Like, every week that Spider-Man doesn't come out, I wish it did.
Yeah.
Not that it's necessarily my favorite book, but I just constantly have a yearning to read new Spider-Man, and I don't know why. I couldn't get behind that for fucking Future's End or Batman Eternal. Like, fuck that.
Weekly comics can be great. 52 was fantastic. Countdown was dumb, but it was at least entertaining because it had lots of Kirby shit in it.
Yeah.
But, Infinity Man and the Forever People number 2. I'm going to get this for the 6 issues it comes out, I'm sure. Because it's the same team that brought us OMAC. It's a Kirby 4th World series. You got to at least try it out. It looks like it could be fun. Wonder Woman's is almost done, eh? There's only, this number 33, there's only 33 more issues after this.
Really? Are they... They're not canceling the book, they're just getting new writers, eh? Yeah.
I just caught up with it, actually. Weirdly enough, I hadn't read the last 7 issues.
Yeah.
And I read them all in what felt like 20 minutes, like they read really quick.
Yeah.
And when I go through them in a huge chunk like that, I think it'll be a nice, satisfying thing to sit down with all 36 issues.
Interesting.
Read them all.
Yeah.
And you'll be like, that was good. But I remember I used to praise this book a lot, and I do think it's pretty good, but it's nothing spectacular, I don't think, anymore.
Yeah.
I like it, and the art's good.
I think it's relative to DC, most DC books.
Yeah,
it's
and
like,
it's not New 52, yeah. So that's nice.
Yeah.
So I'm enjoying it, but...
Yeah.
I mean, I've bought it for 34 consecutive issues.
Well, yeah, so. I mean... by the way, did you see the... just on the next page is Constantine. Did you see the trailer?
I didn't. I heard it was pretty good.
It looks really good. It looks like really spooky, kind of a weird horror show.
I saw the trailer for Gotham.
The trailer for Gotham looked really good. It definitely is a Nolan-ish, like Nolan-inspired fucking show. But
Batman's not in it, so that's okay.
Yeah. The girl who plays Catman, I hate how, like, she has this weird... Catwoman. It's like, this is going to sound like I'm attacking... Yeah.
Okay.
This is going to sound like I'm attacking a little child, and I am, because she, like, clearly the direction was to act, like, really tough and look really tough and, like, street-hardened, and she looks so, like, not threatening at all. Like, she looks like that, like, wuss kid that trying to be, like, the tough guy. And it's really annoying. I don't know why. And I hate children, I mean, so that, you know.
You do hate children.
Oh, so much.
Mm-hmm. Batman 66.
I will be buying an issue of Batman 66 shortly.
It's a miniseries, but yeah.
Yeah.
The Batman 66 meets the Green Hornet.
Mm-hmm.
Kevin Smith and Ralph Garman.
Apparently, it's like it's Ralph Garman writing it.
That's what I figured, but
I can't wait for that. Speaking of, on their podcast Hollywood Babylon this week, the Hollywood Helper was Daniel Bryan.
Oh, really?
Yeah, for that, you know, that poor little kid.
Did you watch that whole video?
No, I've been meaning.
Don't. You'll cry.
I was gonna say I want to watch it, but I also don't because I know that I will ball.
Oh. It would have made me cry even before I had a son, but now that I do, it was just, I can't watch this.
Yeah.
In the collected editions, there's one DC collection. I'll believe it when it finally comes out, but Showcase presents Captain Carrot and his amazing zoo crew. This is an awesome, fun, hilarious comic. This was solicited like 7 years ago, and it's never come out.
Really?
If it eventually comes out, awesome, but it has been a long time coming. So I will believe it when it's in my hands, but this is not the first time this book has been solicited.
I totally thought it said written by Rob Thomas, and I was like, really? Matchbox 20 went that far down?
Roy Thomas.
There's also a Warcraft trade on that page.
I keep thinking I should order Scooby-Doo Team-Up, because I keep hearing it's really good. Scooby-Doo teams up with DC characters.
Really?
Yeah.
That might be like the one DC book I would buy. Just kidding.
And it's written by Sholly Fish, who used to write the comic version of Batman Brave and the Bold, which was fantastic. Yeah. DC, basically kids' comics are the best. There's a new Vertigo series. There's this book called Bodies. I don't know why I ever buy Vertigo series in singles.
I was going to say, are you going to buy it in trade?
Yeah, I wrote trade in my Sandman 3.
Yeah.
Okay, Coffin Hill. I put a star here before I went and caught up in my Coffin Hills. I had bought 2 through 7, I think they were out.
Yeah.
And so I'd read number 1, and last night, or 2 nights ago, I sat down and read 2 through 7. And then I went to the store the next day and told Chris to get it the fuck off my Plus because it is horrible.
Is it
bad?
It
is so... Basically, it should be called Malgoths the Movie.
That's...
The comic. See, Malgoths the Movie, the comic.
I remember... I feel like it was Rob, but it might have been somebody else. But somebody being like, why wouldn't you get it? It looks so good. And I was like, that looks like the dumbest, like, Malgothiest shit I've ever seen.
Rob lasted less than I did.
Really?
The only reason I have 7 issues is because I didn't read them. I got to the end of that 7th issue, which I skimmed because the first 6 burned me out so bad. I hate every character. Mm-hmm. I want them to die. I don't know what the plot is. Mm-hmm. I don't care what the plot is. And Iñaki Miranda's art is pretty good. But fuck this book. The covers are great too, but I just, oh my god, it's boring.
Is it?
I don't know what it's about. I don't care. I don't want to know. I don't want it near me anymore.
It just felt like one of those like shitty like teen supernatural books.
And it is Hot Topic, the movie.
Yeah.
Ugh, it's terrible. I finished Trillium this week, finally. Mm-hmm.
It's good.
It's really good. Still, all the Jeff Lemire stuff, yeah. It's the one you would like.
I'll get the trade because I did read the first two issues, and I can't remember why I stopped. I think my claim was that it lost me, but I think the real reason was I missed issue 3 and then didn't really want to go searching for it. So.
Yeah, I would say it's definitely worth... I'm going to get the collection. It's definitely worth having on the shelf because it's, if nothing else, it's the best-looking Jeff Lemire art.
Yeah. I did
I
actually like...
I also stopped getting FDP because I was... And not because it's bad. I think it's probably really good.
Was it because...
I'm stupid. That's why. I haven't...
I thought it was because the guy's name was Adam.
Don't.
I mean, come on.
Don't start.
I
can't remember what anything is about, so I just... Maybe I'll get the trades, but I just... I'm just too stupid.
I've been slowly reading Preacher.
Yeah. I've only ever read the first two volumes of Preacher.
Yeah. I own the first two, and I see that the fifth one's coming out, so that'll be cool. I read
these are the new editions as well. Yeah. I had the old trades. I had the first four of the old trades, and I read the first two.
These ones are the ones that are like fairly thick.
Yeah, like, there's gonna be six or seven of them. Or
yeah, I on average read like one issue a night, and I really really like it. Well, I've gotten through the second arc now, with like that weird kind of serial killer guy, and I really like it a lot.
I do need to finish it, eventually, because I like the two arcs that I read. But apparently,
it's silly.
The first Vertigo Quarterly Scion came out a couple weeks ago, and I didn't get it.
Yeah, it came out, I want to say, 2 weeks ago?
I imagine Rob got it. I'm glad I didn't get it, though. It's basically every Vertigo anthology that's come out in the last couple years. It's an $8 book, 80 pages, 15 maybe of which are pretty good.
Yeah.
And the rest of them are either just fine or not very good.
Yeah.
And after Scion came out, there was that whole thing where Joe Keating had a story in it, and he came out and said, like, just be forewarned if you're reading this because my name is in it. This doesn't even resemble my story. Editorial really changed it around a lot.
Really?
So I guess they, like... So he distanced himself from the book, saying, like, this is not representative of what I read. Yeah. So I'm not surprised, and I can't...
I mean... It's weird because Vertigo has like such a better reputation than DC, when at the same time they are still owned by DC, I guess, so it is important to know.
Yeah, I mean, they used to be fairly autonomous, and I think it has more to do with there's just not much happening at Vertigo these days, really, outside of like The Wake,
and Fables.
American Vampire Fables, and Fables is ending.
And Fables, Which, by the way, I this was like 2 weeks ago, but I finally actually found out about the new Willingham series, and it sounds amazing.
Which one?
Oh, God, I can't remember... I would know the name of the artist if I heard it, but I can't remember what the hell it's called. And it sounds basically like Fables, about like magic disappearing for years and years and years, and then like anything magical has been locked into a vault or of some kind, and it's been locked away anyways. And then all of a sudden, it all comes back at once into like the modern world.
Really?
So it's basically Fables, but
is it called Restoration?
Yep.
Oh, and it's Barry Kitson.
Barry Kitson, there we go.
And it's from Image. How did I not know about this?
Yeah, doesn't and it sounds
did
awesome.
Did I know about this? Is it possible that I knew about this?
It doesn't have like any date or anything because I think it's just like this is what he's going to do after Fables.
Well, dude,
Fables
this was announced. I probably did know about this. This was probably announced back at ImageCon.
Yeah, but there was also like so much cool stuff announced.
Okay, then, I love Barry Kitson. So yeah, I'm on board for that.
Oh,
for
yeah.
Sure. Well, let's move away from the solicits again and go to a little section I like to call Joey Reads Comics That Are Intended for Children. So this week I got two books from Boom.
I heard this one was really good.
The first one...
This one.
...was Bee and Puppy Cat Number 1, created by Natasha Allegri, written by Natasha Allegri and Garrett Jackson, and illustrated by Natasha Allegri. And a backup story called What Happened, written and illustrated by Madeline Flores. It's really cute. It reminds me of, like, I don't know, a little bit Kiki's Delivery Service, a little bit... It's a little bit of Adventure Time, you know.
Yeah, I
think she used to work for Adventure Time, is how she became popular.
Okay.
But it's just this girl with a monster creature thing called the Puppy Cat, and they are, like, temps. So, like, they can get hired to do these weird, like, cosmic... temp jobs. I can't really describe it other than like it's really cute and it was a really fun read.
I'm trying to think of where I heard, but somebody said that it was like really 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 fun.
It was. It's going to be really... Like, it's sort of confusing, in fact, because I'm like, I don't know what's happening other than that it's really cute. And there's this running gag where, like, she got locked out of the house wearing a t-shirt of her pajamas, which is a t-shirt with a picture of herself at age 2 with pudding on her face. People keep asking what it is on her face, and she's like, it's pudding! So it's this running gag about people not believing her that she has pudding on her face as a child. But it was extremely cute, if nothing else. In the end, but... And something else, I enjoyed it. But even more than that, I enjoyed this book, Lumberjanes Number 2, written by Noel Stevenson and Grace Ellis, and illustrated by Brooke Allen, who could be my new favorite artist.
I was going to say, I totally forgot to get the first issue, because I kind of wanted to get these. I've heard really, really, really good things about this book, too.
Start on this page and look at the next 4 pages and tell me this isn't your new favorite.
Oh, my God, River Monster.
So, yeah, it's like this group of girl guide type girls on this summer camp adventure in a world with all kinds of crazy three-eyed monsters that keep showing up and them having to do battle. So this whole issue takes place on a canoeing trip.
I want that.
And shenanigans. And all the characters are really funny. It's really well written. And fuck me, there's a couple pages. Like this page? Yeah. I want this page.
Yeah.
Oh, it's so good looking. And it's funny and fun.
Really, really ridiculously good looking.
Yes, totally.
That was a Zoolander
reference. It so much. And this whole thing at the end where the character wants her, has his candy bar, and his eagle swoops in and takes it, and so she chases this eagle to the top of a tree before discovering that the eagle also has 3 eyes, and then they find this cave at the end and go down to a cave and find this weird like underground labyrinth with like stone minotaurs and stuff. So, and in the back, it's really cool. They have like a little, they have art you can cut out for a mix CD. And then you can just grab all the songs that they say should go on this mix for this issue.
They it's have, so like, one of my favorite songs on there.
What?
Just take a stab. I'll give you 2 guesses off that list.
Okay, hang on. You don't strike me as a Kimya Dawson fan. There's an Against Me song on here.
Nope. Okay. It's not that.
There's a Josie the Pussycat song on here. I like that one.
It's not that.
This is... Why don't you just tell me what it is?
It's Independent Woman by Destiny's Child.
Which song is that again?
All the women who ain't independent. Right.
And what's the other one then? Did you say there was 2 you liked?
No, I said I was going to give you 2 guesses.
There's also one that's crossed off completely. That's Skater Boy by Avril Lavigne.
That's amazing.
I think it's so funny.
Oh, and they have
some songs that I like on here a lot. Like X-Ray Specs is really good. Bikini Kill is really good. I haven't heard the Veronicas, but I like their name. I don't like Against Me, but Josie and the Pussycats, though. Thumbs up.
Do you like Paramore?
I don't think so. Paramore is that, like, metal band for teenage for tween girls, right?
Yeah, but I think they're cool.
You're a tween girl.
Our friend Brett loves Paramore.
Is it Paramore I'm thinking of then?
Yeah, and the girl's dating the guitar player from Newfound Glory. I don't know if you would know that, but...
I don't.
But Brett, like, loves them.
Well, why don't I hit a few more comments since we're stopped anyway?
I only have like 2, and one's my favorite.
Right. I'm going to talk about 2 weird ones then.
Whoa. You sent me pictures of one.
I sent out of context panels of this comic to Ryan last night. By the way, this is the first splash page of the book.
I don't want to read that anymore. It's terrifying.
So this book is called The Auteur, Rick Spears and James Callahan.
I would like open that up and then just drop it because I wouldn't know what to do.
It's such an insane book. So, like, the basic premise is this filmmaker has decided he's going to make this, like, truly, like, his magnum opus, this weird horror movie. Mm-hmm. And he, in the previous issue, helped this mass-murdering psychopath get acquitted. So
I think I remember you talking about one of these.
For his movie. Mm-hmm. And in this one, like, they're trying to shoot the scene. First, he spends the first half of the book trying to convince the actress who they hired specifically for her tits. Mm-hmm. To be in the movie topless.
Yeah.
Which is really funny. And then, also there's this great scene as well where his penis talks. But my favorite part is, how the hell did a bird get in here? Fuck off, bird! And the bird just goes, nevermore! So there's this whole sequence where he clears the set, so it's just him and the actress, and he's naked so that she's more comfortable. And they're going to shoot this scene, but the murder consultant ties up the actor and puts a mask on himself. And he comes out and fucking actually murders the actor with an axe. And this is like, my God, that's fucking realistic. It even smells disgusting. And then they realize, oh shit, he actually killed her. So then the rest of the issue is him trying to get rid of the body. Mm-hmm. And that's when he realizes what's happened. That's when he pukes and he goes, oh, I barfed on my dick. Which I laughed so hard at. So yeah, they also end up fighting the ghost of her at the end of the issue. Like, fuck, we made a ghost! Because he's high on something.
Yeah.
And the killer, he has a vision where the killer has Cthulhu's head. I'm not scared of you, Cthulhu! Like, seriously, this book is fucking nuts.
It's
also,
so weird.
The murder at the end of the issue, like, the last page is him jumping off the boat and, like, stabbing and biting a shark in the eye. It's the most... I honestly don't know whom or how to recommend this book, but if you've ever listened to me talk and think some of the fucked up things I like are cool, this book is for you. I love this comic.
It's actually, like, the weirdest thing I've ever heard.
It is so
I'm
funny.
Very intrigued by it.
Look how cool that cover is, though.
Yeah, it is.
It's an extremely funny comic, but not at all for the faint of heart. And last thing.
What you're saying is that your dad would not like that.
No, I'm probably not. This was the first comic I read, probably easily the most bang for my buck. $4 got me this handsome collection, Weird Love number one.
There's another one on the shelf, and I almost got it.
So this is like from Yo Comics from IDW. And Craig Yo is this really cool guy who just puts out classic comic stuff. We've seen, like, he does the Haunted Horror series, and he's got lots of old, like, print collections and stuff, but he's pretty cool. Anyway, so this Weird Love just collects romance comics from the olden days. Weird.
I saw you tweeting pictures.
I did, yeah. So these are just, like, old Silver Age romance. The first story is called I Fell for a Commie, about a girl who falls in love with a guy who is in a communist party, and she has to join and pretend to be a communist, and eventually it turns out that he's actually a secret agent who's working from the inside to bring down the Communist Party. It is hilarious because it's like the height of the Red Scare, right?
Yeah.
So, like, it's really funny. Then there's a one-pager just called Love Diary. It's so weird. Just this guy, like, mad that this girl will talk to somebody else, and then she leaves and he goes, women, you can't trust any of them. She wasn't worthy of me anyhow. End. It's like, what the fuck? Then, like, the main story of the issue is called Love of a Lunatic. Mm-hmm. From Romantic Adventures number 50 from 1954, about a girl who thinks she's insane and breaks up with her boyfriend because she doesn't think he should have to. Basically, it's like, I can't imagine being a woman reading this, especially at this time of being like, Jesus fucking Christ, this is so offensive, but it's really fun. You have to read these with, like, a wink and a nod of, like,
yeah,
how charmingly, yeah, retarded they are.
Yeah. How charmingly bad we were at, like, yeah, humanity.
My very favorite one, actually, though, was it my favorite? Was the one after my favorite? I can't remember. Anyway, this one was great, called The Taming of the Brute, from Just Married, number 53, from 1967. Art by Vince Coletta, whom we know as the guy who ruined a lot of Jack Kirby pencils. Everyone bitches about his inks on Kirby because he just, like, annihilates Kirby and makes it look like Coletta.
Yeah.
A lot of people hate Coletta. And looking at this, this is what Coletta would look like. Can you imagine making Kirby look like this?
Ugh.
Yeah. Anyway, it's funny. This girl, this fucking annoying bitch of a girl, gets this, like, rough and tumble guy who's, like, just comes up and, like, starts grabbing her and making out with her. And so she starts deciding she's going to tame him. And so, like, she literally just, like, beats him down for the next, like, 8 pages until they're married. And, like, suddenly he's, like, wearing aprons and doing housework. And it's, again, it's really offensive. But it's funny because the ending, it turns out, he starts, like, spanking her and saying, now, woman, who wears the pants in this family? She says, you do, Nick. I'll never forget it again. I learned later from Nick that he was humoring me from the start, waiting for me to come to my senses. And he finally gave in and gave me a hint. I'm like, holy fuck, this comic is fucked in the head.
And not even this comic. Society.
Yeah, society. And this was from 1967.
Really?
Yeah. Like, that one I would have expected from the 50s, but this was, like, during the Summer of Love. Like, jeez, holy shit, did the Comics Code ever wreck comics for one time.
Yeah.
So then we have a story called...
But wait, now, is that how I'm supposed to treat women?
Yeah.
Okay.
So then we get Love in High Style from Dear Lonely Hearts number 7 from 1954. So this is about a girl and her boyfriend, and there's this older guy who she starts trying to go out with because the younger guy doesn't like him. The older guy is, like, fashionable and like, mysterious and older. But, like, look at him. He's, like, this balding piece of shit. He asked the girl's dad if he could take her out. And the dad's like, well, I suppose so. I'm like, are you fucking crazy? This guy is, like, 50.
This guy clearly is more interested in, like, her son.
And, like, but seriously, for, like, a 1954, it kind of implies that he tries to rape her until her boyfriend runs out of the bushes and saves her, but, like, it's weird. Like,
if I had a nickel for every time I ran out of the bushes and saved somebody from being raped.
So, like, here's the thing. He tries to kiss her. Well, he does kiss her, and she says, stop it. He goes, what's the matter, honey? It was only a kiss. There's no harm in that. You might have asked me first, blah, blah, blah. And then she says, take me home now. So then he says, all right, I'll try it your way. Anything as long as I get what I want. Dear Bobby, will you kiss me, please? And she goes, no. And he goes, well, then I'll show you what we grown-ups do. We take our kisses. And he grabs her and starts, like, forcing himself on her. And I'm like, what the fuck? And then, like, it all ends with her being like, ha, 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 ha.
Yeah. That goon.
I also like that, and her plucky boyfriend at the end, I guess curiosity about smooth characters like that in older men is just a sort of a period all girls go through. You'll grow out of it. And she, rather than being like, fuck you, you condescending twat, just smiles and goes, why, chick, that's almost exactly the same thing my mother said. And she's just smiling and it's just like, ha, from now on, high style or whatever, you're my style. Oh my
God. I should have bought this.
The last one is weird. Called You Also Snore, Darling, from Just Married 57, 1968. This one actually is drawn by a spectacular artist, Jose Luis Garcia Lopez. Mm-hmm. Did a lot of Teen Titans and stuff, but this is a dumb fucking story. There's people on their honeymoon who won't shut the fuck up about how perfect each other is, mm-hmm. but the girl is, like, fucked in the head, and so mm-hmm. she refuses to let him see her in anything less than perfection.
Yeah.
So, like,
she
should keep her hair perfect, and she doesn't want him to know that she isn't even remotely unperfect. Like, mm-hmm. everything about her has to be perfect. Which also gives me the great panel that I tweeted, the first panel. Mm-hmm. Sam's asleep, and there are certain rituals I must perform if I am to continue being Sam's flawless bride. And I'm thinking, please be like a blood
Cthulhu
ritual. Yeah. The next one is her in rollers. My hair would be a mess tomorrow if I didn't do this, and this Pacific sunshine would dry out my skin. I'm like, oh, that's disappointing. Anyway,
maybe like
the best the is hair rollers are tentacles. They go to the beach, and he keeps looking at other chicks in bikinis, and she gets pissed. Sam, you wretch! You actually ogled that horrid woman. I did not. I just glanced up as she went by. Is all. You don't love me. You've been lying all along. Hit the end of the change awful quickly there. I'm going back to our hotel. You can stay here and leer all you want.
That
and
is. He's just, oh
and
my
he
god.
He actually says, "Run along. I'll be along later." He's like, "Maybe." I despise you, Sam. You're despicable. And anyway, the punchline is, it turns out that he says, I love you even though I know you're not perfect. But what do you mean? Because you snore too, darling. That's the whole punchline, is that she snores too.
For the record, though, that thing about, like, you glanced at that woman, that's happened to me numerous times and led to bigger fights than that.
I just like the idea.
So culture is exactly the same.
Yeah.
So all I had to do was go, you snore too. And it would have been fine. I would still have that girlfriend.
The one page, which might be the most insulting comic I've ever read. It's called About
More Face. Wait, more so than The Auteur?
Yeah. I'm going to read you verbatim the entire thing. It's a one page.
Is this like when I did Hawkeye?
Just trust me. Listen to this. And you can imagine what the pictures look like, but this is it. Which girl looks more interesting from the rear? The neat one, of course. There's two girls who look exactly the same. Most of you realize the importance of a first impression, and do what you can to put your best face forward. But don't neglect your back view. Your escort often follows you down an aisle, or his eyes are on you when you leave a room, so about face to your mirror. Think about your walk. You're not a duck, so don't waddle like one. Point your toes straight ahead, and hold your head high. And then it shows a girl thinking to herself, I'll have to rush to get to work on time. I guess I'll wear the same suit I wore yesterday. That's a big mistake. Your clothes may look all right from the front, but how about the back? If your skirt is wrinkled and has that sat-on look, you are not well-groomed. All that's necessary is a quick pressing of your skirt for a fresh appearance. Check your clothes the night before. And then it shows her walking out of a room with her boss thinking, must she always look as if she's coming apart at the seams? A blouse has a way of creeping out of your skirt. Be careful of this. It's messy-looking. Your hairline is open to many a critical eye. Have your hair trimmed and shaped regularly. But what about the back view? Look well coming and going. When you buy something, from slacks to an evening gown, check your back view. Even your best friend won't tell you, but your mirror will. You know your own figure, so buy carefully and let a mirror be your guide to good grooming. Holy
fuck. So what does, like, the hairline thing kind of had to do with grooming? The rest was like, if you have a fat ass, get out.
It was just like, you sloppy slut. Put some effort into it. People will judge you.
I mean, like, in fairness.
And it is called Weird Love. Like,
yeah.
I love that they don't for a second. Like, they even say, like, these old stories are all, like, weird shit, man.
Yeah.
full of swingers, sickos, lunatics, lechers, snorers, sinners, drugs and dogs, sluts and sleazeboys, commies and clowns, and worse. Or make that better. But so yeah, I am in love with this comic.
Now, to play devil's advocate on that last one, though, all things women should take note of.
Well, of course, but I mean still, it's just, you know, so...
But we just don't have to say it. They should just know it. It should be ingrained at birth.
It just sounds like one of those old, like, instructional movies that you see on Mystery Science Theater.
It's like give your woman a firm, open hand slap.
Yeah. Well, let's hit IDW at Image real quick.
Okay. Let's IDW, just hit them right in the face. A couple of things
quickly caught my eye. Ragnarok, a series, a Walter Simonson written, drawn book. It looks like a Thor kind of book, but it's a guy fighting a dragon and he has a hammer.
I'm kind of into that.
Yeah, right?
Like, kind of very, because Walt Simonson's the
best. One of the things I like about the solicit, though, is that they're really trying hard to dissuade you from buying the trade, because they're like, buy this. It's bi-monthly, but the first trade will not be in stores until late 2015. So it's like, get on this now. So I'm going to. The Squitter.
Just like my woman. Oh.
The Squitter is a new miniseries from Ben Templesmith, which I think he did as a graphic novel on Kickstarter, and now this is the serialization of it. Okay. And I remember looking at the Kickstarter, because I love Ben Templesmith stuff, but like the shipping was absurd because he's from Australia, so I just thought I'd wait, and I'm glad I did. Okay, Transformers versus G.I. Joe. I read the Free Comic Book Day issue, and it was possibly the best comic I've ever read in my entire life.
I haven't even read any of my Free Comic Book Day stuff.
That's the only one I've read so far. Yeah. Dude, it is the most insanely odd. Like, really? I don't care about Transformers. I like G.I. Joe.
Yeah.
You don't have to have read a single one ever. You don't have to know what they are. They could be brand new things. It's just this insane... Before you go, let me show you it. This insane Kirby on acid... book where soldiers are fighting robots
in disguise.
Dude, it is unfucking real.
Really?
I cannot begin to describe how good this comic is.
I remember somebody said something about it on Twitter and said that it was amazing.
And me and Justin and Rob were all just like losing our
shit. You know what? I might have grabbed it.
Honestly, dude, like I remember.
I think I did, actually.
I wasn't going to get it until someone pointed out Tom Scioli did it, so I said, oh, I better look at it. It went from being a book that I was like, I don't care about these books. I read that Free Comic, and it is like my number one most anticipated series.
Really?
Dude, I am not joking.
Who's the team on it?
Tom Scioli and John Barber are writing it, and Scioli's drawing it. Have you ever seen Tom Scioli's stuff?
No. Does it look like that?
Yeah.
It looks cool.
Yeah. And James Stokoe is doing a variant cover, actually, the subscription variant.
So it's just insanely detailed.
Yeah. Anyway, it looks so great. I think that might have been it, actually, for there's a Johnny Bravo. Oh, no, it's just a one-shot for this super secret Crisis War. They're doing, like, a crossover event of all the Cartoon Network series.
Really?
So that's kind of cute. Yeah. The Samurai Jack book continues to be good. Jim Zub and Andy Kuhn. Andy Kuhn's doing an issue. Oh, Andy Suriano had been on it until then. Ninja Turtles, Star Trek, whatever. The Godzilla book is cool. Winterworld, we talked about this before with Chuck Dixon, Butch Geist doing espionage. I'm on board.
By the way, quickly, Godzilla got a 9 out of 10 on IGN. The new Godzilla,
Sadly, Weird Love number 2 doesn't look like it's coming out until, what are these books?
July,
but that's okay. It only comes out once, like every 2 months, I'm fine with that.
Yeah.
But $4, and it took me like an hour to read it all.
I might have to go find that, because that sounds ridiculous.
So fun. I love old comics, man. I'm not even remotely interested in this, but I would point out people like you might be interested. Doberman. It's a new, it looks like a superhero, but it's written by the writing team of Always Sunny in Philadelphia.
Really?
Yeah.
So, does it say the names?
Jack Lambert, Scott Martyr, and Rob Rossell. I don't know who they are. Weird. I don't watch that show. Okay, Image. New series. As always, it's exciting. Low, number one. 36 page first issue, Rick Remender, Greg Tocchini. I love Greg Tocchini. He did a series with Radical Comics with Rick Remender called The Last Days of American Crime.
Yeah.
Fantastic.
Hmm.
And he's doing the covers for Hinterkind, I think.
Yeah.
It looks really good.
I might get this. I never even picked up Black Science 1, so.
Oh, it's so good.
I don't know, I just.
You can have my issues and probably get a trade.
I'll probably get a trade.
Warren Ellis has another new book coming called Supreme Blue Rose. I don't know. I think this is like a character that Image Comics had back in the day. I've never heard of because I don't follow that era of Image. But It looks cool, and Warren Ellis gets an automatic buy from me no matter what it is. Just to at least try it out.
Have you liked his Moon Knight?
I have. Especially issue one.
Yeah.
Issue three was cool, though, when he fights a ghost.
Hmm.
It was a mostly quiet issue, like hardly any dialogue, of him dressing up in all this cool armor and fighting a ghost.
Hmm. I should check those out, too.
Dark Engine number one. It looks, like, really cool. There's all kinds of monsters and stuff. I'll probably try out first issue, but I'm not planning on subscribing Sight Unseen just yet.
Yeah.
But it looks cool. Stefan Sedgwick has a miniseries called Death Vigil. I love his art, but I just... The kind of books he usually ends up working on are like Witchblade and stuff, and I couldn't care less, so...
Yeah.
And this is another... Justin Jordan has a new series coming out called Spread with Kyle Strom, and that looks pretty cool. But it's another like post-apocalyptic type thing. I'm just tired of apocalypses, but it looks pretty good. So I'll probably read the first one anyway. Hack Slash is coming back. Black Kiss Christmas special. Which unfortunately means I have to eventually find it because most shops don't bring it in.
Really?
Because they have a hard time getting Black Kiss across the border.
Really?
Yeah, I don't know. Comics are weird. People are weird.
Like, I mean, it's weird because you can go to... not only can you like go to a corner store, a 7-Eleven, and buy a magazine with real boobs, real human boobs in it, but you could also go on the internet and watch literally anything.
Yeah, I know.
But you can't get a comic book across the border because it's
book
a little
super
smutty.
Excited for. Cap and Dinosaur one shot.
I'm into it. I'm so
Shaky Kane.
I will buy that a million times.
Anything Shaky Kane draws, I'll buy because he's fucking awesome.
I mean,
I
it
love
had me
Bulletproof Coffin. I've never heard of Keck W. I think he's like a 2000 AD guy. But, dude, when a mysterious drowned man falls out of the clear blue sky, the cap'n and honeymoon follow a trail which leads into a deserted amusement park.
You had me a cap'n dinosaur.
Yeah. Hey, so I just... the first trade of Alex and Ada is coming out.
Yeah.
I just read, got caught up on all the issues. I love this book.
Yeah. I've heard it's very, like, very slow.
It is, yeah. The end of issue six is where, like, the plot, I think, really kicks in. But I was just mesmerized the whole way. I definitely think it'll read better in collection, though.
Yeah.
So if you're interested, check out the trade or read them all at once.
Speaking of, I have a question if something read better in a trade or not.
What?
Manifest Destiny. I did see that you purchased.
I didn't reread the trade yet. Okay. I bet you... I don't know, because I never found that the single issues were hard to follow.
No, not at all. That's one of those books. Like, and I have a big problem with that, with forgetting shit. And that was one book that I always remembered.
Yeah, I found that, and the cliffhangers in that one were so much... Like, remember the cliffhanger at the end of issue one when the Minotaurs came out? That was one of my favorite moments in comics in the last couple of years, so...
It's just me, or does it sound like something's dripping?
It's because whenever it's windy, you can hear it going down this...
Okay, that happens at my house, too.
Sheltered Volume 2 is coming out.
Yeah.
Sheltered is so good.
I read the first issue and thought it was fine, and then just not worth...
Fair enough.
I had very limited funds at the time, though, I will say. Is that the third trade of East to West?
That's just number 14.
Oh, I still haven't read the second trade. So
I've only read the first two issues, and I have a bunch. I have to get the trades eventually.
That's what I've just been buying the trades.
Okay, so here's the field number 4, which might as well segue into the field number 2. Now, remember when the field number 1 came out and I was kind of lukewarm?
Yep.
Field number 2, I liked a lot.
Yeah.
So if you're going to read this book, read 1 and 2 back to back.
And
now you have enough information to be like actually interested beyond how good Simon Roy's art is.
Yeah.
I think in a collection this will be a really fun, wild book. Like, it's actually turned out to be like somewhat of like a time travel paradox book.
Okay.
And it's pretty cool. And the art is great. But the first issue, it was just the art that was keeping me reading it.
Yeah.
Because I was like, I don't know what's going on. I don't know why I even care. But which is actually a very similar complaint, remember, to what I had for Shudder number 1?
Yep.
Where I liked it, but I didn't think that they gave us enough story for me to really
get into it.
Engaged.
Yep.
Number 2 has some of the best pages ever.
Really?
There's that one.
Whoa.
The cat and people. And I'll show you my favorite page that I was like, I don't usually get super crazy excited about trying to track down original art, but I would totally want this page.
Whoa.
Yeah.
That's
when like the snake
really,
demon monster really comes out of the guy's body and the cop screams, "Holy goddamn, what the shit?" Now, after reading this issue, I'm still on board with the series. I have the exact same complaint.
Yeah.
This will read fantastic in a trade because we're at issue 2 and I'm still just like, you're still thrown in the middle of this world. The world's interesting, the world's crazy and cool looking enough that I'm like, I want to read more about it. And I love all these little twists and all these like the imagination on each page, but I don't know what this book's going to be about. I don't even know that I care yet. It's lucky that Leila Del Duca's art is so good and that I like Joe Kiedich so much.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I actually found more affection for staying on this book reading the letters column.
Yeah.
Because they talk a lot about, like, other stuff that they're into, and they're just so enthusiastic that you can't not like them.
Yeah.
But, and there's an awesome Tiger Lawyer one page,
really?
Including, like, the best thing. It's like an ad for Tiger Lawyer services, but the best is the last page. No matter the charge, I will get you off. And it shows, like, the list of things that says, put fire on house, assorted battery, face fisting, drive by boner, kill the dude, call now. And on the bottom, it's just like an ad that says, old Spitty's boot shine, make old boots smell like boots, saves you time and spit, no aim, no strain, wow, high end glisten. But yeah, so Shutter number 2, again, great looking book. I don't know what the fuck it's about yet. I bet you the trade will do super well though.
Yeah.
But as far as a single monthly issue, I'm considering, if not for how much I enjoy reading the back matter,
yeah,
I would think about just getting trading a trade, it, yeah. But I don't know, we'll see.
That's like the only bad thing about getting trades.
Yeah.
It kind of sinks
I also caught up on Manhattan Projects finally.
It's really good.
It is really good. I was having this discussion with Rob earlier because we were saying how there are some books still, like, I don't like the word decompressed because I don't know if it's decompressed, although I do think Shutter is. Some books don't read as good month to month as they do in a chunk because you have to try and remember what's going on in the plot. And to be fair, we read a lot of comics.
Yeah.
And this is not all on the book.
Yeah.
And he was saying that he thinks Manhattan Projects is a really good one for being able to read every month without having to, and I was like, I think you're fucking crazy.
See, what I'll say compared to the other Hickman books I've read, absolutely, it's the easiest to follow along, which is weird because it's so fucking zany.
It does have
strange,
more self-contained one-issue stories, but they're still part of a larger thing.
Yeah.
I think one of the reasons I think Rob thinks that is because he rereads his comics like four times,
yeah,
especially this one.
Yeah. So I read mine
times
once, and I'm...
Me usually, too.
Yeah.
So I love this book. It's one of my favorite books, one of the best books coming out.
Mm.
And I don't think it necessarily reads better in trade, but I do think it might be easier to follow if you're not...
Oh, yeah.
If you're reading a lot. If you're only reading a few books, you'd be fine. Yeah.
But like I said, it's I don't know what it is about that book, but I read that, and I'm like, the only thing that's ever thrown me for a wrench is not realizing I didn't even get issue 18 or 19, and then having to go back and read that after I read the issue after. But
19 was the Angst and the Barbarian one, wasn't it? Or is that 20?
Well, way, what was the last one that came out, 20? Okay,
mm-hmm.
It was 19 I didn't get. So I went from 18 to 20, and there's like a big thing that happens in issue 19.
I'm trying to remember. One of them is the last Infinite Oppenheimer.
That's 18.
That's 18?
Yeah.
So then 19 must be Einstein the Barbarian. I read them all last night, back to back.
Yeah. I just remember there's the one issue that I didn't read is when, like, you know that army general with the ears?
Yeah, yeah.
It's when he dies. I don't care about spoilers, sorry. But when he dies, and then the next issue, I was like, well, wait, what the fuck happened with that guy? And then I realized, or when that...
At the end of the... Oh, no, you're right, he did, because at the end...
Einstein,
you know,
Einstein
kills Oppenheimer.
Yes, that's what it is. Okay.
Yeah.
When Einstein kills Oppenheimer.
The guy you're talking about, I forget his name all of a sudden, but he's still around. Westmoreland, I think. He's still there. He's actually, and now he's going to work with the Manhattan Projects guys because he was going to get rid of them, but now he sees all the fucked up shit, so he's going to make them work for him. And then Oppenheimer is the one who gets shot at the end when Einstein the Barbarian comes back and shoots him. And then the next issue is the Infinite Oppenheimer, the finale.
Mm-hmm.
And so, like, the last two pages of 18 and 19 are the same.
Yeah.
Right, okay.
And then 20 was Einstein the Barbarian.
20 was Einstein, which was great.
Yeah. But I do, like, that was the only time. The only thing that's ever, other than that, thrown me for a wrench is, like, I find it weird how occasionally it will jump forward in time by, like, years, and it's not really ever mentioned.
So I don't think it ever jumps forward. I think it jumps back. Like, you're talking about the stuff, like, when they first find that weird monster. That's back.
Yeah, no, I mean, like, you know how the story now it's in, like, the 50s and stuff? In a weird way, it feels like
like
they never addressed that.
Years that happened in between while they were working on these projects.
Yeah.
I see what you're saying.
And then that was, like, the only other thing that kind of I thought was weird because I didn't really realize it. It's like, oh, it's supposed to be in the 1950s now? Like, what the fuck? But
I see, okay.
But it's kind of a nitpick. It's just me not paying enough attention.
And part of it, I think, if we read them multiple times and read them again...
We read them Infinite Oppenheimer times.
In September, or July rather, Sex Criminals number 7 coming back.
Yay! Can't wait!
Pretty damn good.
Did you like Southern Bastards?
I love Southern Bastards.
I thought it was excellent.
It was really good, and it's been very well received.
Well, there's a lot of writers and artists and stuff going on Twitter being like, hey, I just read Southern Bastards. I got a free preview of it. And it is phenomenal. Mm-hmm. And that 100% sold me. So that worked.
So I think the only new book from Marvel this month, that month, is Rocket Raccoon that I'm interested in.
Is that the new Star Wars book. Who's doing the Rocket Raccoon
art? Written by Scotty Young.
That's what it is.
Yeah.
And it's
going to be really this Spidey 2099. I don't think I care. Oh, and there's the 100th anniversary special, number one, Avengers. Of all the 100th anniversary ones, I don't care about any of them except Avengers, written and drawn by James Stokoe.
Ooh.
Right?
Ooh.
That's going to be so fucking dope.
I might have to... I might check out a couple of them, but I'll definitely check out that one. I'm definitely getting Rocket Raccoon, though.
Yeah, me too.
Oh,
Scotty. Other than that, there's nothing really new happening that I care about. There's a new Storm book. I'm not gonna get it.
See, that with Marvel, if it's the next book, I'm probably not touching it.
Yeah.
I might consider it for a second, but I'm not touching it, unless it's like Greg Pak writing a Dazzler book.
And maybe I'll just hit some of the highlights of the featured items for the rest of previews, because we're going long tonight, but looks
like wide receiver.
Hey-o. So there's, I'm not interested, but Life with Archie 36 and 37, like the Death of Archie story.
With the weirdest cover of all time.
Terrifying Alex Ross cover, yeah. Tuki number one. I'm definitely going to get Tuki Save the Humans. Jeff Smith.
From Bone. From Shazam. My favorite comic book of all time.
It's his web comic, but it's like they're reprinting it in color in a comic. So on board for that. That sounds fantastic. They keep bringing back all these Chaos Comics characters. So I don't think I'm interested in that.
As an aside, quickly, Afterlife with Archie, it's an ongoing, right?
Yeah.
I think
it's like a month off and then they're back again.
Is Francesco going to be on it?
I think so.
Indefinitely?
I haven't heard otherwise.
Right on.
A few other things that are starting. Fantagraphics is starting the Don Rosa library of Uncle Scrooge and Donald Duck. They've been doing the Carl Barks library.
Yeah.
And Don Rosa is the other good duck artist for the more modern stuff.
Yeah.
So I'm on board for that. And Gene Luen Yang and Sunny Liu are putting out The Shadow Hero, a Golden Age Asian American superhero. Mm-hmm. One of the first, I guess, Asian superheroes ever. And basically, the fact that it's coming out from First Second and Gene Luen Yang is writing it, I'm on. Just because First Second, I have never once read a book that they put out that wasn't not only really good, but like phenomenal.
Yeah.
They put out probably like maybe 20 books a year, but they're always top shelf, man. Top shelf. Really good stuff.
So it's called Shadow Hero.
The Shadow Hero. It's a graphic novel.
And it's about an Asian.
Yeah, so the Green Turtle. I guess he was one of the first Golden Age Asian American superheroes.
So is it... No, I don't even want to make that joke.
You've been doing so good at the offensive this week. P. Craig Russell is adapting the Graveyard book into comics.
Yep.
P. Craig Russell did a really good adaptation of Coraline, so this is going to be awesome. The Howard Chaykin Buck Rogers book is coming out from Hermes.
Ooh.
So I missed the first issue when it came out, and it was out of print, so I've been waiting for that.
Mm-hmm.
Tashin is putting out a complete Little Nemo in Slumberland. Like, the entire oversized 13x17 inch. Tashin's great for two reasons. The books are gorgeous, and sometimes they end up going on remainder, so I can get them cheap, because this book is like $250 or something.
Really?
It's huge, dude. Like, it's like 12 years worth of comics. But
wow.
And they're putting out an actual hardcover of the Third Legion of Superheroes, League of Extraordinary Gentlemen book.
Really?
The Century, there was three little one-shots.
Yeah.
And they're actually releasing it now as the graphic novel, so that's cool. Let's see if there was anything else big that I needed to mention. Ad House has a couple cool things coming out. Street Angel looks pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
Youth is Wasted is Noah Van Sciver. I really like a lot of his... short stories. So
Noah Van Sciver?
I don't think he's related, but he might be. I don't know.
That's a very obscure name, though. It's weird.
Ethan, I'm trying to see if there's actually a solicit for Afterlife with Archie this month, and I don't think there is. So I don't know what that means. I don't really know what's happening with that
one. I think...
Because it took a while for this one to come out, didn't it? It felt like it did. Maybe it didn't, but it felt like it did.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it
this
does,
was also the worst issue in the series.
It's, it does after this. It says next month we'll be catching up with Sabrina, which is cool.
Oh, right. Okay, yeah. Cool. I bet you they're going to go next month and then probably have a break month.
Yeah. Speaking of, I'll just quickly talk about
Let's do it. Yeah. I read it as well.
Afterlife with Archie.
It was the worst issue by far of the whole series.
You thought so? I really enjoyed it.
I liked it a lot. Yeah. But of all five issues so far, it was the weakest.
Yeah, maybe. But, I mean, it's such a strong series in anyways, especially because of the just shoddy artwork. It's so good looking.
I did like
it's
that.
Such a good looking book.
Whatever the fuck the name of the barber is, Smithers was like the focal character this time, yeah. So that was pretty cool.
Oh, it was. Yeah, I can see what you mean about it being.
Yeah, I don't mean them sounds like either. I really
the least it. Great issue.
But it was the least great issue. Yeah, I really do like it though.
It's just such a good looking book.
Really
weekend or month in and month out.
It's just
out.
A fun
and
read.
And my favorite thing is the feel, the texture of the paper on the cover.
I leave it out, and a lot of people who come to my house just pick it up and read it, and they all love it. Yeah, because they all recognize it.
Because it's Archie and zombies.
Now this book sounds
the
interesting
two things that will never die.
To me from Boom called Black Market miniseries. Frank Barbier is writing it.
Ooh.
From Five Ghosts, as we know. Victor Santos is the artist. So basically, it sounds like it's about. A medical examiner guy who's preparing corpses at a parlor, funeral parlor, and they come up with this idea to, like, steal DNA of superheroes to cure cancer or something.
I heard something about this book, and it does kind of sound cool.
It sounds interesting, and and Frank J. Barbier has earned my purchasing of the first issue, at least, to check it out.
Yeah, I even bought White Suits.
And they're fucking trying with Steve and Mrs. Peel again.
Yeah.
They're just going to keep beating that horse.
Are they going to put Mark Waid's name on it for no fucking reason? Was that?
No, not this. Yeah, he did that. Yeah. We didn't mention this last time, but John Carpenter and Eric Powell are writing a Big Trouble in Little China comic with Brian Cirilla doing the art.
I fucking love Brian Cirilla.
I know you do.
Oh,
and
my goodness.
It's Big Trouble in Little China.
You know what? I was going to be like, hey, do you know if Brian Cirilla's doing anything?
Yep.
Yep.
Fucking Big Trouble in Little China. And if you're like me, that excites you so much.
I might actually have to get that.
Dude, how can we
did,
not?
Did you ever read Secret History of D.B. Cooper?
Yeah. Me and you are the only ones.
Yeah,
so
and it
fun.
Was like the weirdest, most fun book of all time.
So now
yeah.
Put him on a Big Trouble in Little China book, one of my favorite movies.
Mm-hmm. I don't think I've ever seen it, to be honest with you.
Oh, it's so good.
Kim Cattrall?
Go see it. Yeah. Go watch it before it comes out.
Go see it? Is it playing in a theater?
I'll end the DVD.
Is it a new movie?
Yeah, it's a new movie. Shut the fuck up. Boom has a lot of cool stuff coming out. The Woods, number 3, I'll be on Dead Letters. I quite like the first one or two or however many have come out. Damon was the one that I always think I should get, and then I'm like, oh no, it's vampires again. I don't care about vampires.
Yeah.
Let's forget.
I remember when that came out.
Is there anything else from them? They're releasing the original illustrated screenplay of Tale of Sand, which Ramon K. Perez adapted as a comic.
Yep.
And so now they're releasing the actual original unedited screenplay with some illustrations. So that's pretty cool. Lumberjanes. Gotta get Lumberjanes. There's another Adventure Time miniseries starting with one of the writers of Adventure Time. I guess they call him the head writer of Adventure Time, whatever that means. So and they're also launching The Amazing World of Gumball, which I know is a new TV series, and I don't know anything about it, other than this one I have to get, because kids comic and B, Tyson Hess is doing the art.
Yeah.
And he does a webcomic called Boxer Hockey that I've really enjoyed. And
is it about hockey?
It's about this weird sport called boxer hockey. It's really funny, though. And his art is so good. You'd love his art.
Yeah.
You would particularly like it, yeah.
I like art.
Don't we all? only one or two more publishers I should hit.
I like art, hate children.
They're launching a new book called The Devilers. I don't know what that is. It doesn't look that good. Again, we mentioned Chastity. Okay, Tom Clancy's Splinter Cell.
Is there a market for... Well,
I mean, he's a best-selling author.
Yeah.
Here's one that I knew I was interested in. Lady Zorro number 1. Mm. The Zorro book that wrapped up, remember I was a big fan of, and they introduced this character at the end of it.
Mm-hmm.
And it's being written by Alex DeCampi. And that's cool.
Yep.
From Grindhouse. So I'm going to read that for sure. They've relaunched Vampirella. There was something else I knew I wanted to say about something.
Was it maybe about...
I think it was probably from Fantagraphics. I'll get to them first. And then we'll just move on. Oh, yeah. Barnaby Volume 2. Crockett Johnson. You remember the book Harold and the Purple Crayon when you were a kid?
Oh.
Anyway, if you saw, you'd remember it. He did a newspaper strip called Barnaby, and this is the second volume of that collection's coming out. And the other one is Ed Piskor's Hip Hop Family Tree Volume 2 is coming out.
I've heard good things about Volume 1.
Yeah. So. And also this one called DKW Ditko Kirby Wood by Sergio Poncione. $5 one-shot. It's a tribute to those three artists, so it's like the book is in three chapters, each chapter drawn in homage to those three artists.
Oh, okay.
So that sounds pretty
sounds
cool.
Kind of neat, yeah.
And then also Cosplayers 2, Dash Shaw. I remember I talked about Cosplayers 1 when it came out, so I'm pretty stoked for that, as the kids say.
Was that the one that I believe you described as weird?
Yeah, I did, okay. But in a good way.
That's kind of a shitty way to jog memory, but...
Yeah. Well, since Rob's not here, should we forego the improv theme song for the My Favorites this week? Because you usually don't help.
My favorite...
Okay, so it's time for our favorites.
Hi.
In another very comic-centric... Two comic-centric episodes in a row.
Yeah, and it's weird because usually we get off track on wrestling. Yeah. Or on off-track betting.
But we had lots of comics to talk about, I guess. And it helps when I've read a lot of comics.
Yeah. And actually, to be honest with you, doing the previews, great time killer.
Wow, no kidding. Hopefully it wasn't boring, but we'll see.
My it would have been great if we would have read it like this.
Minimum Wage number 5. I've been talking about this pretty much since it came back.
Yep.
It's such a spectacular read. Mm-hmm. You just love every character. They all feel so real. And all these guys, like, neuroses and sexual hang-ups and just, like, the problems of his life are just so fun to read about. And they're just funny. And there's this middle sequence that's in color in this weird cartoony style that he's having, mm-hmm. like, a nightmare, where his ex-wife shows up dressed kind of like Vampirella, and he's being talked to by these hermit crab characters. Basically, he's been hired to be the artist on this comic series. Mm-hmm. It's the Ninja Turtles, but
yeah.
I forget what they're called. They have a funny name, but they're horseshoe crabs is what they are. this whole crazy fever dream he has where they're talking to him. But the whole thing mostly just has to do with like his life, and in particular all of his like sexual hang-ups, and he just got divorced and trying to get back on the market and what have you. But, oh, God, it's just... I look forward to it absolutely every month. I love reading it. And sadly, there's only one more issue before it goes off until 2015. He's doing, like, the Walking Dead Mad Men kind of thing, where they do 6 months and then take 6 months off. Well, he does something else, I'm sure. I doubt he sells enough of this book to really be to support himself. Yeah. But it's such a good book.
Or you mean the Breaking Bad thing where they do one season and then they do another season and then they and say that it's one two. Season?
That's so annoying.
Yeah. Oh, I fucking hate it. Like, I get having a break.
Yeah.
All shows have a break around Christmas. Hey, by the way, I saw The Trophy Wife was canceled and I'm sorry.
It was so sad.
I watched one episode of that show and it was the Christmas one.
Yeah, it was funny.
And
right?
It was really funny.
Trying to figure out what happened to the tree and all
yeah.
It was funny.
And what's the song that they sing? Because I heard it. I was in a store the other day, like a car audio store.
It was
and I
funny.
Heard it.
And it was because like they accidentally drank an entire bottle of absinthe in the Christmas punch.
Yep.
But it was funny, bro.
And
that's
there was like
show.
they had a pet coyote.
Yes. Yeah, oh, that was so funny.
And I was like, this show's real. I get why Joey likes it. And my thought process was, well, hopefully it gets renewed, and then if it gets to like season 2 or 3, I'll know it's like actually good, and then. Well, that's okay. That's kind of a stupid thing to say, but
how many seasons is two and a half?
Well, usually,
I know what you mean.
Yeah, because then it's like enough where it's like I can watch two seasons in a day.
But no, dude, definitely like watch the whole first season. It's really good.
I should.
It is. It's like it's I a should, good fucking show, and I'm really sad that it's gone.
No.
Or will be gone. Anyway, what was your favorite, buddy?
My favorite was a book, The United States of Murder, Inc. by Brian Michael Bendis and Michael Avenatti.
This is really good.
Can we stop just using our middle names?
Michael and Brian. Ugh.
I don't know why, but I don't like it. It's me. I hate fucking everything.
You have weird.
I have the weirdest hate.
This is a cool book, though. I did not know anything about it until I read it.
I was worried that it was like a Powers, like if not like a Powers miniseries, but like more of a like from the pages of Powers kind of thing.
Yeah,
and
no,
then
it's not at all.
I made sure to ask before I got it because I realized I've read Ultimate Spider-Man, and
which
that's
is great.
Like the Miles Morales stuff, and then a bunch of the Peter Parker stuff, mm-hmm. And that's really all the Bendis I've ever read. Like, I've read some of his Avengers stuff.
Dude. Yeah. His Avengers stuff is fine, but no. His Daredevil's great, but no. Read the ones that are advertised in the back.
In the back here, like Goldfish and
Goldfish is fantastic. Mm-hmm. Jinx is probably his best. Torso is what might be my favorite, even though it's not his best. Mm-hmm. Fire, I haven't read. And then Fortune and Glory is actually fucking hilarious.
Yeah.
I have the first... I think I have the first 12, anyway, volumes of Powers, and it's really
good. Really? Yeah, I've heard great things about Powers. But yeah, it's a really cool story about basically, like, I guess some off... Okay, bear with me, because I did read this last night very... I was very drowsy at the time. And so this is kind of refreshing my memory as I flip through. But from what I understand, this main character of ours becomes a made man in the Mafia, which actually has taken over a part of the United States. And basically, they like run New York, essentially, and,
yeah,
and
cool.
other parts.
Like this, like, yeah. free zone that they can be in and yeah. do whatever the fuck they want.
And he's basically sent to Washington to essentially kill a man without knowing that he's going to kill him. And at the end of the story, it's revealed that his mother isn't who she
yeah,
said
what
she
a
is.
Cool ending.
It was
a
very cool ending.
That.
The ending hooked me. I remember the ending kind of perked me up. And the speed that I shot up. But it was a really cool book. And I really like Michael Avon Oeming. This is such a cool looking book.
Oh yeah,
like,
I mean,
it's
I've
definitely
always
liked
his art.
Yeah,
I would say in this particular comic, huge props have to go to Taki Soma.
Oh yeah,
whose
that
colors
as well.
Just like really sold this book for me. Yeah. Like I'm often guilty of reading comics too quickly,
mm-hmm.
but this one I took my time with because the colors were so engaging.
Oh, it was a fantastic book. It was. When you talk about Shudder and say that the first issue and even the second issue have put you into this world and not really given you much about the world, this is the opposite, where it's given you like a really encompassing start to the story, and it's really intriguing, and I can't wait to see where it goes. And that was my favorite. Yes, and.
Right. Well, I loved it also, and cool. Mm-hmm. Well, there's only one thing left to do, Ryan.
But I'm afraid I've got some bad news.
Well, I was going
to
say
the
left to do. Yeah, I know. I'm excited about that.
Mm.
Is to be imitating and begin the evolution. And until next week, thank you for listening to the Geek Stampede Comics Roundup. I am Joey G.
I'm Ryan. I was way lost in my dance there for a second.
Go ahead. Come back next week where Robbie G should be back, and we'll probably have another game and be funnier and less informative.
Yeah. Hey, did you notice that this night worked perfectly? There's no hockey on tonight. For the first night since the playoffs started.
I didn't notice that.
I didn't think you would notice it, but...
Take care, everybody. We love you.
I do, too.